Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Auto Central show, and we are having a little bit of a different show today. And a few weeks ago, we spoke to Les McMaster, the director of Right to Repair SA, and we spoke about the guidelines set out and implemented on the 1st of July this year for the Right to Repair. And go and listen to that particular podcast or YouTube video, and go and get the background to what we're about to talk about. But today, I'm not joined by Les. I'm rather joined by a good friend of mine, Bobby Pedkoff, owner and dealer principal of a very successful private dealership group called Mitmac Motors. And I wanted to chat to Bobby today to get his perspective on the Right to Repair guidelines, and this is part two. Now, before we get into that, remember you can download this podcast on any of the platforms. Just search for at Auto Trader SA, and if you want to see our faces, not sure if you want to do that, but if you want to see our faces, you can go to Auto Trader's YouTube channel at Auto Trader SA and go and watch the show there. And please remember to click the subscribe button and hit the bell icon so that you know when potentially episode 3 of this little mini series gets aired. But getting right into it, welcome Bobby.
Thank you. Really
nice to see you again.
Awesome to be here. Very excited. Lots to chat about.
Lots to chat about today. So let's get right into it. Consumer protection episode is what we're coining this, and Right to Repair and the proposed new guidelines. So Bobby, before we dive into the various aspects of these guidelines, I wanted to kind of get a summary, you know, just a couple of lines of how you would explain to viewers from your perspective as an independent car dealership how you see these guidelines.
So awesome on paper, wonderful ideas, and it is designed to help the consumer, to make sure that the consumer gets charged accordingly, to make sure that in a case of an accident and the car is written off, the remaining part of the warranty or maintenance plan gets paid back to the consumer. It gives you options, so you are not tied into servicing the vehicle at the OEM, at the specific OEM that you purchase the vehicle from. So on paper, lots of good quality add-on values for the consumer. However, in my opinion, the execution of this will be quite tight, with a couple of scenarios that I would like to bring into the discussion, where a OEM and an aftermarket service provider will be you know, put up against each other head to head, and the accountability becomes tricky. Who is accountable for a mistake? Who's accountable for a part that fails? What parts may we use? Can we go off the market? Do we have to buy them from the OEM? And I think that's where the trickery comes in, as well as I think a big part of a car purchase and eventually a car sale will be the value of your vehicle. So a vehicle with a manufacturer's maintenance plan, for example, a BMW, 5 years, 100,000 kilometers, how does that value differ from a BMW with a warranty but no service plan? You have to realize that the vehicle down the road might be a little bit more expensive, but it will cover services, where this one you need to pay for your own services. So it becomes extremely complex further down the road. I think the idea is brilliant, and anytime that a consumer has choices and saves money, I mean, we should definitely pursue it, and that's the right angle. I just feel the execution will be quite difficult and tricky.
So if I had to sum up what you're saying in a couple of words, is that, you know, regulating this is where the rubber hits the road,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. So as mentioned, the new guidelines are segmented into four areas. The first area is price bundling, which we'll get into in a second. Then transfer of maintenance and service plans, and then parts, and then finally sensitive information and price coordination. We'll touch on the first three quite deeply. But so let's unpack the first area, which is price bundling. So what the commission said was, when consumers buy a vehicle, they are typically sold with a maintenance plan or a service plan. Now, just for the listeners, this is not the warranty.
So don't confuse the service and the maintenance plan with the warranty. This is the service and maintenance plan and not the warranty. And oftentimes it's included in the purchase price of the vehicle. Most consumers are unaware that the purchase prices are bundled with these value-added products. The commission said that this bundling may make the purchase of these plans easier for some customers who would otherwise have sought them out separately. However, some customers can and do purchase these value-added products outside of the standard manufacturer's provided plan from other third-party suppliers. These guidelines therefore provide for the unbundling of the maintenance and service plans at the point of sale from the purchase price of the vehicle. So it will be so-called mandatory, and we'll touch on that word mandatory in a second, for dealers to disclose to customers the price of the vehicle and the price of the value-added product separately on the sale. So Bobby, what are your thoughts, and how is this going to impact the OEM, new car sales, and the industry?
I think looking at it from the point of view of the consumer, having more options, I think when you detach the service and the maintenance plan from the warranty and the vehicle, it will allow consumers to maybe upgrade a certain trim level or upgrade 3 series to 4 series or 1 series to 2 series, whatever the case might be.
So there's benefits for the OEM to getting the customer into a potentially better car.
Absolutely, because you will, for example, the amount was used not on a specific vehicle, but 70,000 rand difference between a warranty and having a service plan and or a maintenance plan on a specific vehicle. So 70,000 rand is a lot of money. That could get you from the
a sunroof.
Yeah, or it could potentially get you from the 1.4 club to the 1.4 sport. And the difference afterwards, or the effect thereof, will be down the road. So how does that vehicle get serviced? You have to pay for your own services. If you detach the service plan. Or the maintenance plan. Sorry, I stumbled there. How does that vehicle get maintained? It will be out of your own pocket.
Well, it'll have to be serviced at the OEM. Okay, but in terms of the other criteria, or at an aftermarket service provider,
and that's where you know it gets very tricky. And
so this price unbundling thing I'm hearing from you isn't necessarily the biggest deal yet.
No. I think it's awesome to be able to have a choice to buy it with or without a service or maintenance plan, because obviously it goes down to price. You can afford a better car, bigger car, without a maintenance plan for the price of a smaller car with a maintenance plan. So having the choice in theory sounds good. And I think to execute that will be tough, very tough.
Well, you know, to execute what comes down the road will be tough, right? But to really unbundle the service and maintenance plan, that shouldn't be such a tough thing for the OEMs to do.
Yes, 100%. I think how will it affect sales? In my opinion, it might boost the sales of new vehicles temporarily until we get, you know, further down the road and there's real life examples of claims being repudiated or you know, vehicles just going out of warranty because people can't afford to service them.
Because the unbundling then makes for the opportunity to not service the car, because that, I suppose, then is the risk. Yeah. If you don't take a maintenance or service plan, then you have the opportunity not to service the car. And the moment you don't do that, your warranty then is in question.
Yeah. Null and void. Yeah.
Null and void. So that puts a very big onus on the consumer to make sure that the services are kept up to date, whether by the OEM or aftermarket. This principle here, I think what I'm hearing from you then puts a lot of responsibility on the consumer.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And which is fine, because as a sane person who obviously can afford a car, you make decisions based on information that you have. But, you know, sometimes you make an impulse decision at the point of purchase where maintenance and services are not considered at that point. So you'll see the benefit of the cheaper price. However, you can't calculate, you know, right then what will be the cost implication to maintain that vehicle to the point where the warranty is still active.
That's where the trouble starts.
That's the trickiness. Yes.
And I suppose in your previous scenario where the OEM could potentially upsell the consumer into a higher spec vehicle because the maintenance and service plan isn't bundled. Now you're using the money to upgrade the vehicle, but is there money to pay for the service and maintenance plan is what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And then another point is an upgraded vehicle will potentially mean higher service costs, higher maintenance costs down the road. Brake pads on a 3 Series and a 5 Series don't cost the same. So going forward, the maintenance or the service cost on an upgraded vehicle will be different to the one that you could initially, afford to buy.
Which in most instances would be more expensive. So what you're saying is that this unbundling of the maintenance and service plan is a good thing, but there are pitfalls.
Yes, sir.
That's what you're saying. So at the end of the day, it's putting the power in the hands of the consumer, but also putting the risk in the hands of the consumer.
Yes.
Absolutely. Whereas at the moment, I suppose we've been protected a little bit.
Yes.
And it's a good thing. I think I agree with you that when the consumer gets to choose is always a good thing. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we've got to change our mindsets if this is going to be the case. So let's speak about parts for a second, Bobby, if you don't mind. The commission noted issues when it was difficult for independent repair shops to obtain approved or original parts from manufacturers. This also potentially deprives consumers from shopping around and potentially getting a cheaper deal on their repairs. To address this, the Commission said that manufacturers and approved dealers should make original spare parts available to independent repairers to perform services, maintenance, and repair work. It added that the independent repairers cannot be restricted from accessing parts in any way and that only parts which have conditions attached or should have conditions attached are those that deal with security systems of the vehicle. What is your opinion of being able to access parts from the OEM?
Again,
because you've got a repair shop, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. We've got a fairly large one. We've got 11 technicians. We're pushing out 12, 15, sometimes 20 vehicles a day. The ability to access parts from the OEM is an absolute right. We have to be able to buy the parts. The trickiness comes, most parts are coded. And to be able to fit that part and to get that part functioning correctly, you need the machines to code that part to the VIN, as the previous gentleman with the previous interview explained. Now, acquiring those machines is a lot of money. So dealers or service centers that want to equip themselves to be able to service for OEMs will have to invest a lot, which drives cost up. So my question is, or rather the unknown territory will be, will the consumer save a lot of money by buying the part from the OEM and having it fitted, installed, or serviced by a
independent service center?
By an independent service center that complies, that had to go and do the training, how to use the machines, buy the machines. What will that difference in price be? And will it be worthwhile to do it? So that's just a question that I want to put out there. And unfortunately, with anything that's guidelines, we will have to take it by case-by-case scenario and work it out from there.
So that's a very important thing that you say there, Bobby. And if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that it may not necessarily be cheaper to service and repair at an independent service center. Because, let's talk about the principles here that we heard from Les the last time, and that is independent service centers can service the vehicle and the warranty would still be intact.
Yes.
Okay, in terms of the guidelines of the Competitions Commission. But now what you're saying is because of the equipment that these independent service centers may have to acquire or would have to acquire, it may not necessarily be cheaper to service from an independent service center.
Yes, and my biggest challenge with this whole scenario is accountability. So I would like to put a scenario out there that will happen within 3 seconds of this being passed as law. For example, I'll use a Mercedes-Benz.
Mercedes-Benz that previously came out with a six-year, 100,000-kilometer motor plan, all of a sudden now just has a warranty, and the consumer may service it at a independent service center. The vehicle goes in, you know, a filter and an oil and some, let's say, for example, pollen filter gets done on a minor service. Then the vehicle has an engine failure. It goes back to the OEM, who does a sample of the oil, sends it out, and discovers that the viscosity of the oil is not correct. Therefore, a 5W40 wasn't used, but a 10W35, whatever the case might be, was used. Now they have a escape route. They can just lift up their shoulders and say, sorry, incorrect oil was used. We are not honoring this claim. So now the problem comes where, let's say, for example, the consumer bought that A-class Mercedes-Benz from Mitmach, comes back to Mitmach and said, but you said that this vehicle has 6 years, 100,000 kilometers warranty. So I have served, or the vehicle was serviced prior to you selling me the vehicle at a place where it should have retained the warranty. What accountability measures do we put on the service center that did the oil change? So that's the tricky part. And now there's a different law that comes into play. The Consumer Protection Act says the dealer should stand for their product for 6 months, you know, irrelative of mileage. So effectively, the dealer is responsible for that repair. But easy, you know, we can now go forward and say, let's go to the ombudsman or you know, let's go to court. Who sues who? Who's right? Who's wrong? And the biggest challenge is the consumer is sitting without a car.
So the consumer, in your mind, then suffers all the way.
Suffers all the way, because the moment the service workshop lifts up their shoulders and said sorry, or you know, has the opinion that we did use the correct oil, it's a matter of the OEM taking on the service provider or the service center, or the service center taking on the OEM, which can take 2-3 years. Who knows how long it will take?
Well, we know how long court battles take.
Yeah, the wheels of justice turn slowly. Mm. So in the meantime, how does that consumer get his kids to school? How do they go to work? And who's responsible for that car payment while this whole affair is being investigated? So I think on paper, in theory, awesome. The moment that there has to be a loss, financial loss somewhere, I think that's where the trickiness will come.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a different question, and that is, how does that impact independent dealers like yourself in now buying cars for sale? Because obviously you buy and sell vehicles as Mitmach Motors. And are you going to look at vehicles who have been serviced independently differently?
Absolutely. So I'll almost need to employ somebody that just checks that. And also, how does the value of that vehicle get determined? I mean, our value sources will have to rewrite the book. I mean, how do you value a vehicle without a maintenance plan, where for the last 40 years it came out with a maintenance plan? Surely, an A-Class, a 2019 A-Class with a full maintenance plan, 6 years, 100,000 kilometers, is more valuable than one with a warranty without the maintenance plan. Who determines that value?
Good questions, Bobby. So in your opinion, all good for the consumer, but very, very difficult to manage.
I think nothing's impossible. I mean, there's cars that drive 400 kilometers an hour, and we've been to the moon. Almost nothing's impossible, but this will be a toughie, because a lot of time needs to pass and a lot of cases need to be arbitrated by courts to have a defined process and a defined right and wrong. I think it's all gray area in the beginning, and it's going to be scary.
Well, I mean, let's just remind listeners that these are guidelines set out by the Competitions Commission. So in effect, the industry doesn't have to change anything until somebody goes and complains.
Yes.
What is your take on that?
The complaint will come immediately, 5 minutes after, you know, I think it's July 1st, am I correct?
Yes.
July 2nd, there's going to be hundreds of complaints. Working it case by case, how do they decide what goes and what doesn't go? It will be so difficult to manage this.
And so do you think the OEMs are going to, by and large, comply with the guidelines? Or do you think that it's going to be this wait and see approach?
I think because of reputational recourse and damage, I think they're going to wait and see. But when pressed, I think they're going to kick back against it. I'm not sure they'll be.
Well, maybe we'll have a mixed bag. Maybe some will and some won't. Yeah. You know, because there could be some clever business ways that that OEMs could embrace it.
Absolutely.
And you know, and put some guidelines in place for independent service repair centers. Because as you say, to manage the independent service repair centers, it's all good for the consumer. But what you're saying is that actually managing, watching, making sure that they service the vehicle with the right oil is the difficult part.
Yes. In my opinion, the manufacturers that sell vehicles with service plans will be easier to comply than the manufacturers that sell vehicles with maintenance plans, like your premium brands. I think they will be last to join the bandwagon, okay. My opinion.
And then I suppose, you know, finally, fourth part of the Competitions Commission's guidelines is sensitive information and price coordination. The Commission said that it's concerned about the exchange of commercially sensitive information between sellers and that sell new vehicles and products of competing manufacturers, especially in the case of multi-brand dealerships. The guidelines state that dealers that sell products of competing manufacturers must ensure that no commercially sensitive information is provided or shared with competing manufacturers. Approved dealers that sell new vehicles and products of competing manufacturers must also ensure that they do not engage in price coordination. Specifically, the prices of competing motor vehicles and products must be determined by different individuals within the dealership. I mean, multi-franchise dealership, I think this already exists, really.
Yeah.
You know, price collusion is anti-competitive and shouldn't take place. So I don't think there's a really a deep discussion, yeah, unless you have any views on this particular area, Bobby.
I think it's all fair. That's 100% fair.
So how do you see the future now? What do you think? If we had to fast forward 1 year from now, what do you think the future looks like in this right to repair situation?
I think a consumer that is outside of the motor industry. Let's say an IT technician. He wants to buy a car. He wants to drive the car stress-free. The guy's buying new and fairly new 1 or 2 year old vehicles. Buy them because of the warranty and the maintenance plan. So I think not much change there. They will still continue buying it with a full, the full pop deal, the 6 years, 100,000 kilometer maintenance plan. The guys buying towards the end of the warranty are going to be the consumers that make moves and that really push these guidelines to breaking point, to see where the definition, you know, the black-white areas will be and where the gray area will be in terms of accountability. So my opinion, the newer model, 2-3 year old cars, not much change. The 4 to 5 year old vehicles where the warranties are running out, I think there's going to be lots of movement there.
So let's talk about Mitmach for a second. And I know that Mitmach Motors sells warranties and sometimes includes warranties in vehicles. But obviously, you're transparent with the consumer, and yes. And oftentimes you give it as a value added, yes. To your consumers. By and large, I suppose this is my question. By and large, do most consumers opt for maintenance and aftermarket warranty plans?
Yes, absolutely. The peace of mind of having that, you know, if something goes wrong, I'm covered, is priceless. If you have a look, you're towards the top of the range. Warranties are about 14,000 rand, 15,000 rand for 2 years, 7,500 rand a year. Your payment per month isn't really
that much higher.
And interesting point which just came to me now. If you, for example, experience a write-off and the vehicle is not fit for use anymore and you haven't claimed on your warranty, let's say it's a 24-month warranty and at month 8 or 9 you write the vehicle off, you do get most of that money from the warranty back from them if there was no claims. So that already exists in the
market.
In the market and in the generic world. It is that peace of mind that, you know, I know that I'm covered. If anything goes wrong, I'm covered. The people are willing to spend the 200-300 rand extra a month to have that. I mean, it's like insurance.
Yes.
You don't want to buy insurance until you need the insurance. So, and you're glad you had it the day that you have to make the call.
Insurance is a grudge purchase. That's, yeah, you know, not needed till it's needed.
Yeah.
You know, so in your mind, you know, nothing really is going to change with consumer behavior. Consumers by and large buy these products for peace of mind. They want to know that they're safe. They don't want to have a surprise at some point down the line. So right now, you know, even if we unbundle maintenance and service plans from the price of the vehicle, chances are consumers are still going to buy them.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, at least for the next couple of years, until the, you know, all the cases happen and are brought forward and are clearly defined.
Yeah.
Once defined, yes, then people will think about, you know, buying it with a warranty but without a service plan and so on. But I think in the immediate, maybe 1 to 2, 3 year future, I don't think it will change much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have time for. And I'd like to thank my dear friend Bobby Petkoff from Mitmac Motors for joining us. And we will see you next time. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you, sir.